We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Good morning and welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. Klenna Azubuike is supposed to be here joining us in studio for the next hour. I'm sure he'll be expecting full payment, but the scooter broke down on the way in. Yeah, you heard that right. The scooter broke down on the way in, so we are eagerly awaiting his arrival so we can mock him relentlessly and then eventually bring an end to the show. How's everyone else doing? Good 3 hours so far. A lot to get set and excited for tonight. Game 4, 6:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. As always, all Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. It's a Windex game tonight. Plain and simple, it's a Windex game. You got clean up the glass after what we saw in Game 2.
Yes, and you didn't do that in Game 3. You're out-rebounded by a total of 20, and Lowe was running down some of the numbers. Chris Paul and James Harden, the way they were able to come in and dominate you on the glass. For me, it's more about the overall team effort than it is, say, looking at Draymond Green. Andre Iguodala with 5 rebounds, none on the offensive end. You've got to be more active on the glass. You had only one guy with double-digit rebounds, and that's Draymond Green. You know you probably won't be playing Bogut a lot. Kevon Looney, when he's in, he's got a rebound, and it really has to be the guards for me. Steph and Klay have got to show more determination and doing their part to rebound.
Talking about on the offensive end?
Both ends, really. For the guards, it's more the defensive end. You're not going to expect Steph Curry to go in and get many offensive rebounds. I think he has a total of 3 offensive rebounds through the entirety of the playoffs, but it's the defensive rebounding. If you're not going to get out and run and really push the tempo, make sure you handle your business on the defensive glass first and foremost.
Come in smiling. What are you waiting for? Like a round of applause? You're late. Let's get that microphone on.
Let's get them all
that headset
set up.
On. Get them all dialed in nicely.
Lo, do you want to do the honors? Would you like to do the honors here, Lo?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Klenna Azubuike joining us in studio here on 95.7 The Game.
What's happening, fellas?
You all right?
I'm good.
Did the thing, did you crash or did the thing just run out of juice?
No, I just ran out of juice and I was walking for a while there. It was rough. Accidents happen. I apologize.
No, it's all good.
It's all good.
You take the flag and we move on. First and 15.
First and 15.
We're probably going to have to run the ball to set up a second and long.
I'm not running. Get the fullback off the field. We're throwing for 3 downs here. We're already behind
the
sticks.
No 22 personnel. Let's go. Yeah.
50 personnel maybe.
Can't stop 50. That's for sure.
All right. We got game 4 tonight. Game 3 Saturday. Didn't go according to plan, but I think by and large, not one of those complacent games against the Clippers where you don't give the opponent any credit. Houston played well in that game.
They really did. They really did. Actually, the Warriors started off the game really well. And then Houston got more decisive, more aggressive on the offensive side. They started getting all the way to the basket instead of looking to draw and dish and throw lobs. And that's what D'Antoni said they were going to do. They said they were going to attack the basket a little harder because of how smart Draymond was on the defensive side. And the rest of the Warriors kind of stabbing at the drive and faking like they're helping and then falling back and breaking up lobs and all those things. So they're much more decisive than you. Combine that with the fact that the Warriors weren't as good defensively. There's a lot of mistakes, mental errors here and there. And especially late in the game there were some mental errors. And I remember James Harden's dribbling up the floor and it's Steph and Klay on the backside there. They couldn't figure out who they're guarding.
Right.
Rockets weren't really running anything. And they just throw it over the top. It's just a mental error there. So those different things like that they can get better at. And obviously, Steph and Klay didn't have their best games. I expect them to play better tonight. But you had KD playing well. You had Draymond play well. And then Andre Iguodala has been awesome. So hopefully those guys continue and then you get the backcourt to step up.
When you're talking about mentally, talk to us about the mental attitude that you got to have for rebounding. You see this team out-rebound the Warriors by 20. What goes into that, and how do you prepare for that? Is that a coaching? Is that execution? Is that X and O's? How do you merit that?
It's just making sure you're thinking about it more because it's funny. In the NBA, a lot of guys forget to box out now. It's just a a normal thing for guys. They don't put bodies on people. A lot of guys just watch the ball as it's shot, and that's what the Warriors were doing last game. And you had P.J. Tucker and Clint Capela, who you could tell decided they were going to impact the game on the boards and see if they can outwork the Warriors. And the Warriors didn't match their physicality, but they didn't put bodies on people for the most part, most of the night. And then there were times when the Rockets were getting all the way to the basket and the help comes, and then you didn't get the help, helping the helper from the guard up top or cracking back, whatever you want to call it, V-back, we used to call it. And then the big gets the offensive rebound that way. So it's a combination of all those things and just making sure they think about putting bodies on people and matching their physicality. If they do that, we've seen that the Warriors can beat the Rockets on the boards. They did it the first two games. They just kind of forgot about it, game three.
Is it more of a determined effort on the defensive end, knowing that maybe you're going to have to sacrifice some runouts and sacrifice a little bit of a tempo to where you have Steph and you have Clay dedicate themselves more on the defensive end to make sure that Houston's not able to get these second chances, even though it hurts you in your game trying to find tempo?
I think so. The guards definitely have to be cognizant of the fact that the Rockets have guys that are trying to impact the game on the boards, and you get in there and help your bigs, especially when they have to go help for you sometimes. If you're not containing the dribbler and guys are getting by you, and that's another thing. The Warriors, if they're going to force James Harden right and let him blow by, the help has to be there. And there was too many situations on the defensive end last game where guys were in no man's land, and then you're not putting anybody or putting a body on people to get the offensive or defensive rebound. So it was a combination of things that went wrong for the Warriors, and the Rockets really took advantage. They did what they had to do, and the Warriors are still in good position, up 2-1. So the Rockets have to win this game to make it a series. Otherwise, it's close to being over. The Warriors aren't going to blow a 3-1 lead again.
A bit of a departure from the current line of questioning, but where were you born?
London, England.
That's right. Congratulations. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry had their boy today, baby boy.
Oh, yeah. So I heard about that.
Anyone with English ties were launching into the program, but trivia question. What's the royal family's last name? You think we would know that,
name.
Right? Like, they're famous.
No
they're
idea.
The royal family, but no one ever met. They're so popular, you don't even have to say their last name. They're like Prince.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They just go by their first name. They don't really care much about their last names.
Windsor. The correct answer is Windsor.
I would never have gotten that in a million years.
So they
shows how British I am.
Our very own resident Brit, nice guy Steven, also came up woefully short back there.
Yeah.
So it's not just on you.
About to put you on the spot, but I always found that fascinating. I remember it was like a couple years ago, they were talking about one of them having kids, and I thought, what the hell's the last name of this family?
Yeah.
We always get everything else. They'll take you inside everything. Here are the pictures immediately of the child being born. It's like they can't even have 15 minutes to themselves.
Yeah.
But we don't know the last name.
That's crazy.
So I looked it up this morning and figured anyone with English connections I would ask, and now we're
over
too.
Do they ever say it on TV when they air their weddings and all those things? I've never heard
I think
of
it's beneath them. If you don't know who Harry is, on you more than it's on him.
Yeah.
It's like being an NBA player and being known by just your first name, like Kobe, Nene. Shaq, Steph. Yeah, Nene.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you know. Nene, who's quietly been a bit of a handful in the series.
Yeah, he was okay last
This
game.
Is what we're calling a Windex game tonight. You got to clean up that glass.
Yeah,
got to clean up that glass tonight. That's Steph said after, or excuse me, Clay said after game three, that's an effort and a focus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you solve rebound through that? Do you need a tactical schematic adjustment to solve rebounding?
No. It's all about effort. And like I said, if you're just watching and the shot goes up and guys are beating you to the boards, at some point you would think during the game that you would make that adjustment, be like, okay, we got to start putting bodies on people. But I really think it helps when you start the game with that mentality and you're able to maintain that throughout. Just being physical with guys. And some guys, it's easier for them to forget than others. Some guys are just used to being physical and putting bodies on people. Other guys, like mostly guards, feel like, well, I can just kind of pursue the ball and I'll end up with it and my guy's not going to get the rebound. But I just think everybody has to have that mentality from the get-go, and it's much easier. And then the help and the helper and all those things, because a lot of times when you're helping on a drive, you don't feel like you have to help the helper to get the defensive rebound. You feel like you have to help the helper to make sure they don't throw the lob to your guy or throw the dish pass. So it's all those things.
The big question that everyone's asking today and yesterday as well, what's wrong with Steph Curry? Is anything wrong with Steph Curry? Is this just a shooting slump? Are they defending him in a way that he can't solve? Is it the finger that was dislocated in game two?
I think the hand may still be bothering him. He probably has some touch issues with that, but he did miss a lot of right-handed layups too. So, and he made no excuses about it. He said he just played bad, and he's probably really mad at himself. And I just remember watching that game thinking, he's making some weird decisions, and some of the shots are really not even close to making them. So just one of those games, and everybody has them. You look at the greats of all time in the NBA, look at Kobe, any of those guys. They had bad games in their primes. And this is one of those bad games for Steph. I expect him to bounce back, and hopefully he's making great decisions like he normally is and not turn the ball over.
If you look at the bad games he's had this year, they've resulted in losses more often than they haven't. You look at the game against Milwaukee where he had just 10 points and they lose by 23. The game against Toronto where he had just the 10 points and they lose by 20. So how much of it is really a bigger concern that Steph Curry needs to get going? We know that KD is unguardable and a lot of the offense is going through him, but is this coming at the expense of Steph Curry's rhythm and maybe Klay Thompson's rhythm?
No, I don't think so, because Steph still got some good looks last game. And the energy he plays with, the ball is naturally going to find him. And can you imagine being on offense and you got a guy just run all over the court? At some point, you just feel like you have to give him the ball. We can't have him working that hard and he doesn't touch the ball. So he's going to get the ball, and he's a point guard. So a lot of times he's bringing the ball up the floor, so he's going to be involved in the offense. As long as he keeps playing with that energy, moving without the ball, even if he's not scoring, you still have to respect him as a defense, and other guys are going to get layups and rolls to the basket. So as long as he keeps playing like that, it's really good for your offense, and hopefully he'll get going. I think he will, because he's really upset about last game.
But how's he get going? You've been in situations, I know I have, that this things weren't going right mentally. And you have to start questioning yourself. You start trying to get focused. You're like, all right, come on. I know you're better than this, Lorenzo, or I know you're better than this, Clint. And you have to talk to yourself as you're playing. Mentally, what are some of the things? What do you think that he's going through? Because like you said, to me, I think it's above the shoulder. Steph is one of the best 3-point shooters the game has ever seen.
Yeah. He's going to keep shooting. But one of the things I used to do when I had a bad game was watch film and really try to break down what I did wrong that last game and how I could have been better. Did I not take advantage of an opportunity that I could have had? Was there a spot that I could have gotten to that I didn't? Even missing a pass to an open man, my open teammate or something like that. Was there something I did that was kind of a detriment to our offense? And so I'd watch that and then just get in the gym and get more shots up. Just kind of get your swag back in the gym, get your confidence back up, get feeling good, get that mojo back, whatever you need to do. Some nights I'd spend 3 hours in the gym, continue to shoot by myself. Sometimes my brother would come with me. He would rebound for me. He was really good like that. So there's all kinds of different things you could do. It's up to the player to kind of figure out what that is.
One of three from the line. It's Steph. Dibs had a number.
Yeah, it was weird. I credit that to the finger, to the left finger. I don't know. You don't normally see Steph miss that badly from their free throw line.
He had missed
they
one
even close,
free
really.
Throw the whole postseason and up to that
close.
Point.
Yeah.
And he almost missed like all three.
It's not like it rolled out. It's just one with his back rim, and then the other one was off to the left or right or something like that. So it was weird. It was an odd game, and I'm thinking, man, he doesn't really look right shooting that ball right now. He doesn't look that confident, and I'm guessing it's the left finger. I don't know. I don't know what else to credit it to.
You trade him?
Just point blank.
I'm not even going to dignify that question.
Answer that question. It's a legitimate question.
Clint Azubuki in studio with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A reminder, tomorrow, 7:30 a.m., we're going to have tickets to Game 5 to give away. Tomorrow, 7:30 a.m., right here, Joe Lo and Dibs, tickets to Game 5, courtesy of our friends at the Warriors. Go to warriors.com for all your ticket needs. Second quarter has been a bit brutal for these guys in this series. Three games in, they're outscoring the Rockets by 19 in the first, by 7 in the third, and by 3 in the fourth. They're winning 3 of the 4 quarters, but they've been outscored by 19 in the second. Is there anything that can be done? A lot of people are saying that because Iguodala is now in the starting lineup, it depletes some of that bench depth they've had. Usually Andre coming off the bench can help out, but is there anything that can be done? Or is it just a matter of weathering the storm for a few extra minutes?
That, and I feel like they can maybe execute a little more to see if they can get some more easier buckets and get more things going to the rim. Because we were watching the game in that second quarter. There was a stretch there where we were saying to ourselves, man, they need to get something to go in the basket. They keep taking these long, contested, tough jumpers. Nothing's easy right now. And the Rockets were scoring easier on the other side. So it just seemed like they didn't really have a plan offensively. They were trying the helter-skelter thing at times, and they just weren't getting anything because they didn't have the talent out there. Well, there's obviously Clay and other guys were out there. But if you execute a little more and see if you can make the Rockets make a mistake, because they will every now and then, get something going to the basket, get a roll to the basket. And then on cue, I think, well, KD came back in, but there was like four possessions where they got to the basket in a row. And it was rolls to the basket. It was backdoor cuts because the Rockets were overplaying them at times. And they got fouled. I think after KD shot a three, then they got fouled again going to the basket. So if they make a more concerted effort to execute plays a little more and see if they can get some easier buckets instead of just trying to rely on what they always do, which is freedom of movement and moving without the ball and setting screens and helter-skelter and all those things, you may have to kind of buckle down and execute a little more to see if you get some easier buckets going with the basket.
Can you run that execution through Klay Thompson? Because I look at his second quarter and I see 12 minutes and 0 of 2 from the floor. He's a minus 10. That's supposed to be the time where he shines. KD sharing more minutes in the second quarter as they go to a smaller rotation, but do you think that they're going to make more of a concerted effort to get Klay going, especially in that second quarter?
Probably, yeah. Run some plays for him. And with this team, they play defense in a very peculiar way. They switch everything, and they are better this year defensively because they don't make that many mistakes. There's not that many mental lapses. So you may have to slip some screens. You may have to screen your own man at times because they're going to switch out. But the Warriors have done some really nice things where they've gotten some good looks when they get decisive and start thinking, okay, we got to get something going to the basket here. Let's see if we can execute something and get it going to the basket. And they just got to do those things. But you got to get a little creative against this team because they are good defensively.
What do you make of this Boogie Cousins stuff? Ooh. I just assumed he was done for the year.
I thought so, too.
And then in this post-gamer, Kerr's talking about, well, you know, Damian Jones, he's going to start some three-on-threes. You know, maybe he could be back by the end of the playoffs. And then he just kind of throws Boogie's name in there, too.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, I didn't think that was possible.
I didn't think so either. I thought ruptured quads take at least a year to rehab. I thought it was almost as bad as his Achilles injury. So
from the injury to game 7 of the NBA Finals this year, say he appears in game 7 of the Finals, day of injury to game 7 is only 62 days.
Yeah, that's incredible. It must not have been all the way ruptured then, is what I'm thinking.
Right, he didn't have surgery, so it must not have been a complete tear. Otherwise, he would have had surgery right away.
But even like a half tear, you'd have to have something. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. Obviously, I've never had a quad injury. I've had a patella tendon injury, and you have to have surgery then. But maybe the quad heals itself. I don't know. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last
week. We'll go to
That's nice.
We'll go to Dr. Lowe for this, who knows a ton about the medical.
I imagine he didn't. It's just probably a slight tear. Probably got indentation. You can kind of feel. And sometimes it'll stay, even though it heals, because it's sort of like a rubber band, and you'll have dents that kind of stretches. But I think he won't be able to have full range of motion if he does come back and play. He won't be 100%, but he's going to have to be sure that he just doesn't get out of whack, like doesn't go too far, doesn't stretch too far, don't overload. So
like, even if you can have him, do you want to have him? Because I don't want to see him go get banged up again.
Yeah, wouldn't he be more prone to tear it all the way if he comes back and it's still halfway through? Because you see the picture? It was
all the way up,
all
like
up
a,
in his
like
quad.
A shitty,
yeah, it was rolled up. It looked like a baseball in
fruit
there.
Roll just, up.
Yeah.
Fruit roll up. Ugh.
Not roll up. I'll allow it.
Is that not a good analogy?
It is. It's a great
one. It was
one.
Decent.
Too good.
It was a good play on words. I don't know if it was a good analogy, but it was a fun play on words.
You know what I'm talking about. Like you saw how it was all the way up in his thigh.
Yes.
So you don't view that as a good analogy, having rolled up like a fruit roll up?
No, I thought it was okay, which is why we were neither flagged nor exalted. We were hoping to move on. It was just simply okay.
He wants his praise, though. He's fighting for it. I like it.
I'd like a reason for why it's not good. Or I'd like something better. And I know I'm not going to get that. So, you know.
I'm trying to think of something.
If we realize we're not going to improve upon it, let's call it great.
That was good transition defense to offense. I'll give you credit for that.
I'm just throwing punches in the corner like
that's
a guy.
It.
Canelo is
just
beating
keep
up all
swinging
weekend.
Out. Yeah. That's impressive.
Where the hell were we?
We were talking about fruit roll ups, coach.
Yeah.
Those are really
tie dye ones. The blue and red tie dye ones.
I used to love those.
Yeah.
Hey, KD.
Yes.
His ability to score at will. Can they win a title with him scoring 40 and 45? Don't you think that other guys are going to have to? You saw that every time he scored a 40 or more They're 1-1 game. They're 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
Is he? If you think this at this type of rate, does others have to step up, or you think he can do this and they can? They still have a strong possibility of winning a title.
Sure, I think they can still win the title. He's had big games and they've won titles before, but it's all about Steph and Klay playing better. It's funny because he was rolling like that, and there were some key possessions late in the game or late enough where the Warriors went away from him. And when a guy's rolling like that and he's got a nice rhythm, really the only guy that had a really nice rhythm to his game that's one of your big three scorers, you go to him and let him make the play because he wasn't going to shoot every time. Remember the drawn kick to Andre Iguodala, huge three-point shot? That was wonderful.
Making the right play.
Making the right play. And this is a guy who's killing on the offensive side and can get any shot he wants to, but he's still thinking, okay, I'm going to read the defense and I'm going to take what you give me. And if it's a great pass to my guy, I'm going to do that. So I think you ride a guy like that and just trust him to make the right play. Maybe one of those drawn kicks would have been to Steph if they would have kept going to KD and let him do his thing there. So he's so versatile, and he's an all-round player. You can give it to him at the top. He can run pick and roll. You can go mid-post with him. But as long as you continue to move, that's when they're at their best. When they give it to him in the mid-post or the top, whatever, and they continue to get the movement, you get some weak side movement, you get some cutters. Klay Thompson has scored that way. Steph can score on the weak side that way. They can run 1-3 pick and roll with Steph either setting or on the ball, and you slip it. There's all kinds of different things you can do there. So I definitely think they can still win games with KD having 40 or more, even though they haven't won those games when he's gotten those big points. But it's all about just making sure everybody else moves and continues to stay aggressive. But you need to ride him, though. Still need to ride him when he's playing like that and let him make the right play most
scale,
of the time.
Scale of 1 to 10. 10, you're virtually certain the Rockets win the night. 1, you're virtually certain the Warriors win. Your level of concern for this game. So essentially, if you're like 10, you really think the Rockets are going to win this game. So how concerned are you for the Warriors entering game 4?
I'm going to go with 3.
Nice. Okay. So you're feeling very, very confident.
I think the Warriors will win, but the Rockets are really good. So obviously, the Warriors need to make some adjustments defensively. I do feel like they need to make sure they're ready to help and not in no man's land there. If they're going to force James Harden to drive, you need to make sure you're there to help. And obviously on the offensive side, maybe get to the basket a little more. If you're struggling with your shot, make adjustments there, maybe execute a little more. Then you got a defensive rebound, man. Got a defensive rebound. That's huge. So I think those are pretty obvious things that the Warriors can look at and go, okay, we need to be better. And then is Klay and Steph really going to have that same kind of game they did in game 3? I wouldn't think so.
Same with an Eric Gordon regression. That's a career high 30. What, he's going to go do that again?
He was awesome.
He was. All right. All that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
As always, feel free to hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 with all your thoughts. They're usually very positive, so you can feel free to get negative today if you want to. Usually very positive and reinforcing. That's a charming place to do business. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Good friend Kalena Azubuki riding shotgun with us here until the end of the program. Broke down a lot of Game 3, looked ahead to Game 4. We'll continue to do so, but Adrian Wojnarowski, NBA insider, ESPN, was on Get Up this morning. Talked about a wide variety of topics, one of which was the future of the Golden State Warriors. Take a listen.
A lot of teams have been kind of waiting out this Warriors era. But if Kevin Durant leaves this team, well, it opens the league up to a lot of teams who think they'll be able to start competing for championships again. But even internally in Golden State, there's a sense of, let's try to put aside what's coming in July, and we have a chance to do something very rare in sports, to three-peat. Let's try to keep our focus there, win the title, and then let July play out the way it's going to. But I think the Warriors are bracing for possibly seismic change within that organization.
Bracing possibly for seismic change within the organization. You hear those words. Woj is one of the most bankable guys in all of sports media. How does it land with you, Coletta?
Well, if KD leaves, that's seismic. One player. If one player leaves and that player is KD, that's seismic enough. And we've seen what KD has done here. He's played incredible. I'm not going to say that he's trying to go out with a bang because he's played extremely well right now, but this is what KD's done. It's no surprise. He's a scorer. He's an all-around player. Incredible player. But there is a sense around the league that he's probably going to leave, or that he may leave, that that's a strong possibility. And he could change his mind. It's his decision. And I think the Warriors, his teammates have made peace with that possibility. And you hear them talk about, well, it's a business, and we support him no matter what. It's a family. It's a brotherhood. He has to do what's best for him, his family, all those different things. And that's the right attitude to have. They're focused on the task at hand, which is let's win this championship. Let's stay engaged and figure this thing out one last time, if it is one last time, and let's three-peat. That's history. That doesn't happen very often. That's something we do want to do, and that's their goal right now. I don't think that Klay's leaving. If I had to put my money on it, if you held a gun to my head and said, do you think Klay is going to
If you had your mind on your money and your money was also on your mind.
Right. Then I would say Klay is going to be here next year. I think they're going to offer him the max. I do think if they don't, he's probably leaving.
All right, so that's the second part of Woj. Let's listen to the second part regarding Klay Thompson.
KD's obvious. They obviously want to keep him. They want to re-sign him. They're going into a new building next year. I don't know if there's a lot of talking that has to happen between the Warriors and Kevin Durant. I think he knows what it is, what he wants, and there may be nothing the Warriors can do or say to change that. The priority for them is Klay Thompson in free agency. Listen, if they come with a five-year, $190 million max deal for Klay Thompson, that's done on July 1. He's going into the new building with Steph Curry. If they try to do anything less than that, you can expect Klay Thompson to be out in free agency and watch not for the Lakers then, but the Clippers.
Woj, don't hurt me like that, Woj.
Man.
Don't give me content like that, Woj.
Yeah. That's big time.
All right, so Kalena, Dibs, please. I know this is big for you. You're about to jump in. I just wanted to set the stage with the audio.
Yeah.
My floor is yours.
I just think that the one thing that is never really discussed when this topic comes up is the difference between what the Warriors can offer and what another team can offer. And this is where I'll come to you on this, Kalena, because the Warriors can offer him, as Woj so eloquently said, $190 million over 5 years. It's good money. Any other team outside of the Warriors cannot offer him five and 190. They can offer him four and 140. That's a $50 million difference. So for me, if I'm Joe Lacob and you look at this, you can say, well, we don't have to offer him the max. We don't have to offer him 140. We don't have to offer him 190. What if we offered him somewhere in between? And I think it's hard for me to see Klay Thompson, if the Warriors offer him, let's say, five and 170, which wouldn't be the max. Is he going to turn down five and 170 with the Warriors to go somewhere else for four and 140? To me, that doesn't make any sense. So all this talk about it's the max or he walks, we need to be aware of this $50 million gulf that's between those two offers.
I do feel like there's a sense of what's
principle,
the word? Loyalty, principle, what the guy's put into your organization.
Doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing, taking care of a guy. Is he worth the max? Is he really a max player? For Klay, I would say, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Amen.
And I just feel like
the part of the dynasty, Kalena, in case you forgot.
Right.
But I know you didn't.
Speak it.
Because you're a smart guy.
Yeah, Sean Livingston, part of a dynasty as well.
I feel like the way the Warriors have done things in the past and the way they are a team of principle, I do feel like they'll probably offer him the max and just not mess around. Because what if you do piss him off and he just says, okay, you didn't think I was going to do it? They call his bluff, and then he does walk. And then you can't let him go to the Clippers. Come on. I think the Clippers are going to get Kawhi. They're already a tough team. This season they were tough. They're going to be tougher next year if they get Kawhi. They get Klay, too? Now you got real problems.
But
that's a championship roster.
Yeah, that's principal with a PLE, Dibs, not principal with a PAL. He's not your pal.
The principal is always your pal. Thank you very much. shout out to Mr. Anderson at Skyline, who's crossed my kids apparently for the last time, but that's neither here nor there. I think that when you look at priorities for this team in the offseason, Klay is not priority number one. And we all know this. It's Kevin Durant. So if Kevin Durant decides to go elsewhere, then maybe you have to throw every dollar at Klay. But to me, by my eye, you look at this massive difference between what he can get elsewhere and what the max would be, and you're not disrespecting him if you give him five and 175, because You look at the way Klay's playing in this series and in these these playoffs. He's not playing like a max player. You take the emotion out of it. He was, quite frankly, very ordinary in that Game 3 loss. He disappeared.
Well, I think he'd be less mad if KD decides to stay and the organization goes up to him. He's like, and the organization's like, you know what? KD is staying. It would really help us if you took a little less so we can fill out the rest of the roster. Whatever that conversation looks like. I think he would be less mad about that than if KD walks
right.
and you try to not lowball him, but come somewhere in between what you can give him and what other teams can give him.
You know, I don't even think this is about Klay. This is about Lacob. Lacob, look, if you're going to be the biggest and the baddest owner, privately financing, you got all those other buildings up down there, you can't be shorting people.
Yeah.
You got to come out and do the max just because you can do the max.
What do they have locked in already that the Chase Center is going to make
them all
$2 billion?
Yeah, I was down there the other day.
In
you know, like building, you can't even see the stadium. There are so many buildings surrounding the stadium, and that's not a joke. Now, granted, if you go on the backside, you see the stadium quite nicely. It's right up along the water.
Yeah.
But if you go down third, good luck. There are buildings everywhere down there. They built their own damn city.
Yeah, right. They got Trenton, office space there.
Trenton Benjamins.
Yeah.
This is about flexing for Lacob. It has nothing to do with Klay Thompson.
It's about business is what it is. You don't simply have this ego drive where I got to flex and spend an extra $40 million because I'm Joe Lacob. I want to flex.
Do.
It's not how you become a successful businessman. And, Joe, you know better than that.
I
expect you to know better.
Joe Lacob or Joe?
Joe Lacob.
Everybody named Joe is a good businessman. It's pretty much
if you're Joe Lacob, knowledge. You understand the situation. You're not going to go to Klay and disrespect him by offering less than the max, knowing what he can make elsewhere at 140. The max is 190. Either way, he's going to be rich beyond his wildest imagination. And he knows that by coming back, making $33-34 million a year to be the team's third option, it's pretty good work.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get it.
For sure.
So he's not going to feel disrespected.
I don't think
Klay Thompson's that guy.
I think you do feel a little disrespected. Why is everyone else getting paid and you're not? Everybody else. Not just
right.
the
and
Warriors, all these other teams.
You're getting $33 million a year and you're not getting paid.
That's exactly. You're not getting max money. These guys, they all have
getting.
Distinctions. Guys carry their draft round around with them forever. I'm not saying it's the same in the NBA, but whatever round you were selected in the NFL, that follows you
absolutely.
Forever no matter how good you are, right?
Absolutely.
Even the guys who go in the first who aren't any good, they still walk around like first rounders.
Yeah.
That stuff never leaves. It's not about the cash specifically. It's about the max designation that comes with the cash.
But it's not every player across the board who has this sort of attitude needing the ego fulfillment. You look no further than Lowe's buddy Tom Brady, a guy who routinely continues to take about half of what he's worth, even a third of what he's worth, in the idea that the greater good can be there. He's able to slough off the ego blow that goes along with what, being the Patriots' 15th highest paid player or something?
That's the difference between going down as the greatest of all time and going down as a superstar, as a Hall of Famer. Brady is the ultimate top tier. There's no one else up there with Brady.
No, there's
right?
not.
There's no one up there with Brady. There's no human being in sports that is capable of foregoing that much cash because their ego doesn't get in the way, because the championships matter more than anything else. We did this the other day. Clint, I'm going to do it. How many titles did Jordan win?
Six.
How many MVPs did he win?
Six.
Five.
MVP. That's what I answered.
Six really? Finals MVPs, five regular MVPs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
point is, it took you a second on that one, didn't it?
Yes.
But it didn't on the
I thought you were talking about finals MVPs.
On the championships.
Yes.
Kalena knows his Jordan.
Okay, so let me ask
I
you
apologize.
This. How many Super Bowls has Brady won?
Five.
Six.
Brady's got six. Wow, that was actually show. How many MVPs how many MVPs
I was the
does
first
Brady
one to
have?
Answer.
Does anyone even
three?
Have a clue?
Four?
Three.
I don't know.
He's got three. But was that just a guess?
Okay.
Well, it's Brady.
I just know my sports.
I just kind of... No, Brady, but you're absolutely
actually,
right.
Actually,
Bookie had it.
Exactly. For the Durants of the world, if you want to go down as the all-time great, people don't remember the MVPs. They know you won them, but they don't remember them like the championships. They don't remember them. Everybody in this room knows how many Super Bowls Dan Marino won. How many MVPs Marino got?
Two?
I'm literally holding it up. It's one.
Oh. Yeah.
But I started with it, so no one knew.
Yeah.
As a mind, you know what?
Yeah.
That's
mind
the
game.
Point. You're not going to look back and remember a guy 20 years from now and be like, man, you remember that fourth MVP he won? No. That's the ultimate determining factor of the greatness is the stacking of the championships. Doesn't matter if you agree or disagree. That's just how society views it. Jordan's up there because he has two three-peats and he's got six. Everyone knows it. A lot of people don't remember the fact that it was five regular season MVPs because it matters. It's on the resume when you're going toe-to-toe with him versus LeBron. Yeah. Brady's not worried about any of that because he knows the greater good. And he's also got the money already, but he knows stacking the championships and putting himself somewhere where no other quarterback can get to, that's what keeps him greatest all time. No one's going to remember Spygate. No one's going to remember Deflategate. Those are issues no one's going to care about. So Durant thinking about how well he left to join those guys at Golden State, no one's going to remember that in 20 years. No one's going to care. It's not going to matter. It only matters now because of the haters. 20 years from now, the haters are moving on. They're going to move on to a completely new crop of players that they can cut down. And they'll look back on the glory days and talk about how smart Durant was to join a great team and how smart he was to stack championships.
I agree.
Think if you don't get past LeBron, you're never going to be viewed as better than LeBron because he's already got all the numbers.
So hopefully KD stays. Back to Clay,
though. I'm trying to beg.
From the organization standpoint, is it smart to take that risk? I understand.
No.
Being a businessman, coming in between what you can offer him and what other teams can offer him, it's still more than what other teams offer him. But is it smart to take that risk that he does get offended and does want to leave and proves his point? You call his bluff and it backfires. It's smart as a business person to do what you're saying and see what the number is that you can offer him that's not all the way to the max, but more than. But just taking that risk of him actually getting mad. You don't think he will? But what if he does?
Right. It is a risk. And there's a risk that you pay the guy the max and then he shuts it down. He goes into mediocre mode, which also it's not that likely. I don't think it's that likely that Clay gets his feathers all up in a bunch over the fact that he's only getting 170 instead of 190 million.
But that's one thing if you're an organization that's barely scraping by and your revenue, you're barely breaking even, you're barely in the green. But this Warriors organization, they know the numbers. Clay knows the numbers. He knows what Chase Center is going to do for him financially, revenue-wise. And he's going, hey, you're gonna do that to me after all I put in here and all this money you got? You can afford it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Break me off some of that.
Come on, break
me
off
some of that.
This is not offering Steph
Chase Center
4
green.
And 44. I mean, that's,
paper.
You're not offering the guy $11 million a year. You're still offering him a contract that's going to be upwards of $30, $35 million
a
season.
You have a bank's name on your building.
Yeah.
Cash.
Let me get some of that dog patch money.
Right, and then you start to look at what the luxury tax payments would be for every extra dollar you got to pay Clay, and it's easy for us to just spend Lacob's money. Oh, he's got all these buildings flying up left and right. I'm sure the overhead and the amount of money to which they're leveraged on this project, it's not like he went
what
underneath his couch cushion and said, here's $100 million, build me an office building. These guys are, they got to be somewhat leveraged with all these projects they've had.
He's going to give them
enough
the
of this
deal.
Socialist propaganda.
Just represent both sides. You guys all want to queue up and give the guy 190.
Gorbachev tried this too. How'd that work out?
He's still hanging in there.
Spoiler, not good.
Without a doubt, his agent's going to be like, man, look what Steph's doing. Look what my guy's doing. They're going to play that leverage. I think he's going to have pressure from his father. His father's like, no, Clay, you're not taking that. No. What you've done for this organization, it is a slap in the face. I understand you say $33 million, all those different things. If they don't come out with the max deal, I just think that this guy's going to say it's about pride.
Okay,
a lot
so
of guys
if you had to
walk away.
If you had to put your money on it, do they offer him the max or something less?
I said something less. I'm staying on that. And I know it's a minority opinion. I'm going up against Lowe, Woj, yourself, the majority of the people. But I think from a strictly business standpoint, when you look at it, to be honest, you've got $140 million you can get elsewhere. Or 190 is the max. It's not like
I would stay, but
it's not like
I'm
it's a $5 million difference. Then I could say, okay, fine. Now you're just being cheap. $50 million difference between what he can get and the most you can pay. I think if you meet in the middle, Clay looks at it and goes, "I'm making $33 million a year to do what? To float, score only when I need to score. I'm the third option on this team." It's not like he has to go out there and shoot it 35 times.
Let's look at it like this.
20 a game.
Let's look at it like this.
Good night's work.
Say you go after KD as hard as you can, but KD decides he wants to leave. Okay,
he's out the door. Then it's a max for sure.
Then you come back and you decide to use that logic. You know what? We could still offer Clay more without going max, so we're going to do that. And you misplay that hand. Maybe it turns out Clay isn't interested in that, and that is a slap in the face because, wait a minute, KD's gone. All that money's out the door. I can't get a max deal now? Okay, I'm going to go check greener pastures. You're opening up Chase Center with Steph and Draymond. And the first conversation is Draymond gone after this year? Because he's in the final year of his deal. Can you afford that?
No, that would be tough.
So when you're talking
that
about
would be tough.
That extra cash, a lot of that goes into some insurance policy for the advertising,
absolutely,
the brand, the image. KD leaving, they've done enough telegraphing the blow now that if he leaves, people are going to be like, all right, they're not going to be happy. Obviously, you'd rather have KD than not, but you've kind of seen it coming. It won't catch people by surprise. If he leaves and Klay leaves, come catch Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Draymond and Steph fighting each other?
You don't think that Joe Lacob overpaid for that dirt? When you want something, you overpay. That's just how it is, bro. I saw a house. I wanted that house. And you know what I did? It was for foreclosure. Guy told me, hey, this is what they're bid. I overpaid for it.
Straight cash,
homie. Absolutely. You do certain things like
that. King of real estate down in Fresno.
You don't think that guy's overpaid?
Subtle flex.
Yeah. No. He owns a lot of property down there.
And they got a great deal on that dirt down there, by the way, because their first site, Pierce 30 and 32, where they got bounced from because of me and my environmentalist brothers and sisters.
Oh, Lord.
They got... Do your homework and look at the deal. It was credit to me, not my fault. I get full credit for that, for making sure that they weren't an eyesore on our otherwise beautiful Embarcadero. They're exactly where they need to be, right down there in Joe's neighborhood, an up-and-coming hood.
They're getting ready to put that homeless village in down there.
Yeah, I like it. Temporary. You know? Keep it moving. Make sure you add an extra garbage can.
Thank you for clearing Lake of
Out. You're welcome.
And all that income so we get the homeless village in
there. It's for the people, Joe. It's for the people, not just the 1%.
It's caused quite a stir down there. Clint, you live in the neighborhood. You and I are kind of in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a big stir.
Yeah, Soma.
Book. I don't weigh in on that.
No wonder why the scooters are all run down there.
Exactly. If I may, Book, we have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you a question. Just... You've been playing basketball, playing in association. How do you think where is the team regarding KD? What he's been able to do? How do guys feel when they're in a locker room? You see a guy put up the type of performances. How do they feel when they see a guy do what he's doing and coming up short? How do they feel as individuals?
Probably frustrated with themselves more than with KD. KD's doing what you expect him to do, but. Everybody else has to do what they're accustomed to doing, too. And I think if you ask Klay, if you ask Steph, they have been subpar compared to what they were doing in the past. And that's just probably their honest assessment of themselves. They're realists, and they know how good they are as players. But I don't think they ever lose confidence in themselves. And I think that frustration and them being upset with themselves will bode well for the Warriors. Like Draymond says, it's all about coming out and righting the ship in game four. And you have a great opportunity. Again, you're up 2-1. You're in a wonderful position. And this whole thing about Steph having a bad game, I hear people talking like the world's coming to an end and this guy can't have a bad game. All this slander they're throwing at Steph's direction. He's a great player, and he has been for a very long time, and great players can have bad games. I do think maybe he was a little bit in his head, maybe with the left pinky finger, not pinky finger, the left finger, middle finger dislocation. I don't know if his ankle is all the way right. It looked like it was all the way right when he tried that dunk at the end there. But that's one of the things where you could tell, okay, he wasn't in the right frame of mind during this game.
You know he's shooting 25% on dunks this year?
Yeah, it's not great.
Out of 348 players with three or more dunks, he has the worst field goal percentage on dunks.
He's a monster with the dunks after the whistle blows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had the one in the All-Star game, too, didn't he? Didn't he throw one down?
He did, yeah. Now, that was in regulation, though. That one counted.
That was legit.
That was nice.
Real quick, because we're up against it. Sixers-Raptors 2-2. Who wins the series?
Raptors. I just think they got the best player in the series, Kawhi Leonard.
Bucks lead 2-1, game four tonight. Who wins tonight between Bucks and Boston? Who wins the series?
It's in Boston. I'm going to say Milwaukee.
Milwaukee tonight and the series.
Yeah. I think Antetokounmpo plays well.
2-2, Nuggets, Blazers. Who wins that series?
I got the Blazers.
That's
even
a good series.
Even though they just lost the last game, I love what Jamal Murray did. Nikola Jokic has been wonderful. I just feel like the Blazers are playing inspired basketball. Their bench is a little better to me. And they got guys that can come in, Rodney Hood, Seth Curry. Al-Farouq Aminu played really well last night. I think they're going to get it done.
Good stuff. That's it. We're done. Good stuff, Clint Azabuki. Always a pleasure to have you in. Steiny and Guru coming up next. John Dickinson will join them live from Houston at 11:30. We are out of here. For Dibs, Kalena, Anna, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Thank you for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it. As always, we will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.